Call to order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, can we have the roll call?
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Campbell.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton. Mrs. DePalma.
Here.
Mr. Forrester. Mr. Fiore. Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Vitale. Mr. Walsh. Mrs. Walsh.
Here.
Joyce Pegler. We have quorum.
Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards student, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it is presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. We do have a presentation this evening. Before we do that, we'd like to acknowledge, I think everybody's seen or met Dr. Cajun, but we also have our new BA is here tonight, Ms. Lynn Coates, and we'd like to welcome her. Now, our presentation is our public hearing on the 2014-15 school district budget.
Just so everyone knows, there's some of these presentations over on the back ledge if anybody didn't grab one.
Can everyone hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes, now.
Can everyone see the screen fine? If not, obviously. Move a little closer. As I just stated previous, Manasquan's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education and are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Okay, our timeline for the budget this year. March 27th, 2014 was our tentative budget adoption. April 22nd, 2014. It was approved by Joe Passman, the Executive County Superintendent of Schools. And today, May 6th, we are having our public hearing and final adoption of the 14-15 school budget. Our Massaquan School District 2014-15 budget highlight is that we have a 1.4 cent increase in the tax rate, which is the fourth lowest tax increase in the last 10 years. This 14-15 budget provides for strong academic programs based on the state core curriculum content standards. And now Ms. LaPreet's going to talk.
Thank you very much. Before I go into how what we've included for the budget for next year, I want to personally thank, and I'll only be here this year, so I want to personally thank my administration for helping us form the budget, because there was a process. It wasn't top down. Everything that you see in this budget this evening was a compilation of input from administration, its staff to administration, administration to central office. So I would just want to take a minute to thank Mrs. Pollack, Mr. Kirk, Mrs. Graziano, Mr. Cahill, Mr. Murin, Mr. Coppola, Mrs. Karinsky. Did I miss anyone from administration? I'm sorry? And Mr. Place behind me. Mr. Place, what would I do without him? But I really thank all the administrators for coming out this evening. And the bigger piece was the time and effort they put into developing the budget. And what had happened here, the way we develop a budget with Dominic and myself, Mr. Carrera, we go back way in, back in October, we prepare the budget. It's sometimes it's a wish list, sometimes it's not. The administrators met with me up front, and they talked about things that they had asked for a number of years, et cetera. And because of the, where the budget was and money's available or not, sometimes they weren't able to get what they wanted. So this year, there's some neat things into the budget for their schools, and I'm so happy for this because it's all about our kids. And when we see the numbers in enrollment, regardless of the demographic report, we had increased numbers in the high school this year, for example. We started high nines, and we were up to, we're 1,004 now. Elementary, I think we're up six. But six in the elementary and another six, it's almost half a class. So we're doing everything and anything. And as I do a little presentation to show you how we're trying to pull those eighth graders up here into our ninth grade, that's where our, that's our goal. So implementation of a new math series. The math series has been a number of years coming, and Mrs. Graziano and her staff, a committee of one teacher in each grade level, plus special ed, and the administration came together, and just today when I was speaking with the principal, they decided on moving forward what's called Envision Math 2015. So that will be the new math series for K-8 for the elementary school. And that includes textbooks, workbooks, and supplies. So it took, again, it was a collaboration of teachers giving their input, not because we wanted one series. We looked at three, four series, and we came up with Envision Math. The next is hiring of additional personnel. We work with special education with the state of New Jersey based on state numbers. The children that are coming in, mandated special education, we're in need of two full-time special education teachers and an adaptive physical education teacher. Now, this was something on in the works in the past, and quite frankly, when I asked how many children are involved with adaptive physical education or should be in adaptive physical education, 37 children. That is a, those are a lot of children divided by five, six classes a day. We're not having 37 in one. But it was a need for us to work with Colleen and Rich to say we need an adaptive PE. So that's in there. One part-time secretary aide for Manasquan Elementary School and one part-time security aide for Manasquan High School. What does that mean? We hired Mr. Clayton a year ago when I came on board. And if you know, because I've been in both lobbies, if you come into each school within the lobbies, the secretarial staff, they have cameras in their offices, and they're busy nonstop, nonstop. And sometimes I've seen myself where someone will go into the lobby, and many of our parents know the rule, go to the office, sign in. But if someone doesn't know, they could be in another part of the building. We're hiring part-time personnel to sit front lobby for a sign-in. So I will work with Dr. Cajun to decide how we want to move forward with these two part-time people and no benefits. And I've done it in previous districts, and it works quite well. We ask them for ID, you sign in, you go to the office, you get your pass. The office will tell you where to go, and then you have to come in and sign out. It's just another step for security, and we felt that that was important. We have two part-time paraprofessionals for the elementary school. We need additional support for supervision in the cafeteria and playground, and one part-time secretary for the superintendent's office. When I came, I had two full-time, let's back up. When I came, I was told that we were losing one full-time secretary in the superintendent's office. We have one person, Mrs. Mahan, who does it all. She's your personnel person. She's the confidential secretary to the superintendent. And there's a number of things that, including policy, which the person did last year, we're playing catch up in that area. So right now we're asking for a part-time, no benefits in the superintendent's office to relieve some of the additional responsibilities that other people are taking on. The next one is extra summer staff hours. This is routine, but I felt it important to put it in the slides to let the staff know. When I got here last year, we had to do this after the fact in the summer to post these positions. What I would like to do is, before Dr. Cation comes on board, post these positions. Everyone knows before they leave from school, the staff, what they're doing for the summer. If the board in June, what we're going to try to do is get all these positions up and running, post, and then we could have the additional hours for these people, and you'll see as I continue what I'm talking about with curriculum. In the athletic office, you have a 10-month secretary that we recommended 12-month. It's important with 80% of our student athletes are involved with athletics. There's a number of paperwork. We believed, and the high school administration recommended that that position go to full-time, and I concur. In the nurse's office, in both schools and school counselors, it's not new. In the past, we hired them for 10 days for the summer, and it's 4 hours a day at $50 a day. I mean, at this time, I wish I could give them more, and maybe if we find some dollars, the board would concur. But right now, that seems to be past practice, and it works. The 2014-15 budget provides for funding for extra classes. This is the best ever. New English 1 honors coming up from the eighth graders to the ninth. We tried with the administration and with the sending district soups that meet in our office up at the board office every month. It's been great collaboration in what can we do to get those eighth graders up, because I've always said that the more kids that come to the high school, the better it is. So we looked at the interest of the English 1 honors to have an English 1 honors in freshman year. I'd like to let you know, I think, Rick, 64 kids? Was it 64 tested? 67 incoming ninth graders tested for English 1 honors. So there's a couple sections there or more. So we never know. And over the summer, you look at enrollment, because enrollment goes up. Things happen. You know, sometimes enrollment goes down a little bit, but we believe with this, I'm getting calls that people are really happy that we're focused on education and that English 1 honors is going to be running. We have an extra chemistry honor section that we need. Now, every year, just to let you know, with curriculum writing, the state mandates, and you were approved by CUSAC a year ago with Mr. Mahan, curriculum writing has to be done every five-year cycle. Your curriculum has to be aligned for every 5 years. So you're all up ready to go up until last year with CUSAC. We're in great shape. But every year, the cycle has to be five. So what is up? And thanks to Mrs. Karinsky, AP, that's Advanced Placement Language and Composition, French AP, French 1 and 2, Spanish 5, and Intro to Sculpture and CAD at the high school. They will be, when it is a refresher curriculum, not a brand new curriculum, it's 30 hours. And if it's a brand new curriculum, it'll be 60 hours. So we will post accordingly. Funding for extra classes, three additional LA language arts sections, and summer curriculum writing for language, performing, and visual arts in the new K-8 math program. I mentioned 5 minutes ago that it's a brand new math program. So when you have a brand new curriculum, it's a 60 hour, not a 30, because we didn't have it. It's a brand new envisioned curriculum. So teachers will post for 60 hours, and teachers will be doing that work over the summer, ready to go for September. Just as a backup to let you know the additional LAL, those are classes that will be remediation, not special education. Children that are on the cusp of maybe getting over the hump to the section that they're in, but the teachers look at where they are, and they work in the summer 3 days a week, 1 hour for reading and 1 hour for math. And it's just a great refresher course for youngsters, so they're ready to come back in September. Funding to continue support and expand the district's instructional technology program. Purchase of additional one-to-one student faculty device with tablets. I cannot thank Mr. Place enough for all of his input and work with his technology team and the administration. I've asked him to be here tonight to talk a little bit about this, to let the community know where we are in distributing tablets to all incoming children in the grade 9 next year. I think it's so important. I've spoken to superintendents, some of my colleagues, and sometimes, in some cases, they went too quickly, and they're having problems with some of the technology that they're using right now. But we took it slowly, maybe a bit slower than some people wanted us to, but I think that we're on course, and we're getting great response with the technology. And I'm just going to let Mr. Place spend a couple minutes on it for you. Jesse?
Thank you, Ms. LaPreet. I appreciate the opportunity just to spend a minute. I was allocated one slide, so I will be brief, to talk about some exciting things that we were able to include in this budget in terms of educational technology. As Ms. LaPreet alluded to, one of the, certainly the major initiative, I would say, that we're moving toward now is a one-to-one student mobile technology initiative in the district, ultimately for grades 6 through 12. As Ms. LaPreet said, you know, we really began this year with a group of stakeholders to really take the time to fully, you know, I think thoroughly investigate and decide not what we want to buy, you know, that's not really where we start, but what do we want it to do? You know, what are our goals for this program? I've been before the board before, obviously, with a lot of the details. And we, in the process, several months ago, the board was gracious enough to commit to the beginning of this program that really will be starting in the fall in terms of a rollout. We call this, you know, what we're starting in the fall, really our pilot year, because we intend to bring in those devices to students in grades 8 and 9. And really the next piece of that is then the following year, really, and what would ultimately start next year, which is why it's in next year's budget, would be to expand that then out to the rest of the high school and down to probably grade 6. Again, you know, this is a significant commitment, but we do think that it's the right way to go. Really, I think it serves two purposes. I would say the primary purpose is when you look across the state at what, you know, the most innovative districts are doing, you know, these kind of programs are what are going to teach our students, you know, the 21st century college and career skills that they're going to need to be competitive to either go on to the workplace or to go to higher ed. The other goal, just you know, as an aside, is because we are faced with the burden of, you know, state mandated testing, where for grades 3 through 11 of our students are going to have to be tested multiple days on computer. You know, that's the way we're moving. I'm happy to say I think it's a lot better than when we used to get like those boxes of tests in armored cars and have to count them every 10 minutes to make sure we didn't lose one. But it presents a technological challenge for us. And this is, again, one of the ways that we're seeking to address that. Along with that, we have to support that in terms of our backbone. Over the past 3 years, we've really spent a lot of effort in upgrading our infrastructure in the district. I'm pleased to say that we're almost kind of at the tail end of that today that's going to support the one-to-one program. The one last piece of that is our internet bandwidth, which we hope to expand next year. So as the slide says, it will be a threefold increase in our internet bandwidth to make sure that we can support that technology on the internet side. In this budget, we've also proposed new desktop PCs for both of our media centers and also for our art and design center. The computers in this room, for example, are among the oldest in the district. We also As far as our desktop PCs go, really make an effort to get the best bang for our buck that we can. You know, because they're relatively stable devices, they're also relatively cheap to upgrade as time goes on. You can replace parts much more easily in those than in a tablet or a laptop for that matter. So usually what we do when we acquire new desktop PCs, as we are in this budget, we then take the ones that were existing and repurpose those for administrative purposes, you know, secretaries' offices, things like that, where they're not necessarily needing the kind of power applications that some of our students use in academic areas. We've also included two new active boards in the elementary school. Almost all of our classrooms in the district are equipped with active boards. This is really just kind of filling in some of those gaps. And it's always nice to be able to create small instructional spaces where that's going to be effective for those kind of groups. And lastly, along with the computers for the Art and Design Center, as we move, Mr. Coppola could probably talk more of this, about this, but as we move to more digital art, you know, in our curriculum, having a color laser printer for that to be able to produce those really high quality, high resolution images is one of the goals of that program. So, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
The last bullet on this screen here, I just wanted to make sure because I did not cover it. There, and we've talked about it a little before, there's a deposit of $300,000 into capital reserve to fund local share of projects in the district long-range facility plan. So when you look at the long-range facility plans and see of the items, projects that you want to do, the board can make the choice to tell us, well, we can recommend, and the board will decide what they want to do with that money. And Dominic will talk a little bit in more detail about that. But we want to let you know we had that line item last time at the tentative budget. The $300,000 is capital reserve. It's still in the budget, but that's going to be the board's decision to move forward to do what they feel is best for our district. Thank you. Dominic?
I'm the lucky one to be able to go over the numbers with you. I'm not going to go over every single number, obviously, in the budget, but I will focus on what I think is important and help you understand what's in the budget. For those of you who maybe just...
On.
Sorry?
I don't know if that's on.
Was it on?
Okay.
All right. For those of you who don't know, there is a copy of the PowerPoint presentation in the back. You should follow along with us and maybe take notes. There will be questions and answers at the end as well. All right, slide number 9 has to do with the tax levy calculation. And as you can see from the slide, the 2% budget cap was not an issue for the 2014-15 budget. If you see, we're $1,104,206 under cap. And the good news, it's not a use it or lose it. We get to bank this cap. So the cap can be banked for 2 years. We can use it in the 15-16 or the 16-17 school year. And we probably will need it in those years when we go off of the CDL. We'll need this cap. When I first started as a BA 28 years ago, there was no budget cap. School districts could increase the size of the budget however much they wanted. They just had to get the approval of the voters. If they didn't get that, they went to the council, compromise was reached, but there was no budget cap. And then from that point, they started inching their way down. I think it started as 8%, then 6%. Eventually down to, it was 4% at one time, then down to 2% of the budget, and now it's 2% of the tax levy, which is a different situation, 2% of the budget. But it wasn't always the case. But we are $1 million under cap. There are 8 major factors that can impact the tax levy in any given year. And being in this business for 28 years, I can tell stories about every single one of these factors because I had first experience with each one in putting together a budget. The first one is personnel, and yes, this was a major factor for us. As you heard before, we are thinking about hiring. We budgeted for 8 new staff, 3 full-time special ed teachers, and 5 part-time people. So yes, personnel was a factor for us in the 2014-15 budget. The second major factor was insurance, both medical and property and casualty. This was not a factor for us in the 2014-15 school year. The board changed plans in this school year. There were some savings realized, and that savings carried over into next year. Property casualty, slight increase, not a factor. Just wanted to tell you one experience that I had when I was a BA in South Plainfield Schools. We had a major vandal problem where vandals got up on the roof and actually clogged the drains of the school. And we had a major flooding in the school. Every single classroom ceiling had to be replaced. Major claim. And obviously, as you can tell, the very next year, we had a big spike in property insurance. They wanted to get that money back. So sometimes it does come into play. When I was at Homedale, I was the business administrator for the Homedale schools. We had a mold problem for a couple of years. Insurance paid for that. But you know, we saw a spike in insurance, property insurance, as a result. But not for us, fortunately, next year. Insurance is not a factor. Special education, tuition, and programs, always a factor. It's always a factor every single year. The tuition alone for our out-of-district placements is $800,000. Little story behind that. One year when I was in Homedale, we had 10 people who moved in during the course of the school year who needed out-of-district placements. Recall that board meeting, we had to transfer $500,000 out of surplus to cover that. So anything can happen. It's always a factor, and it's a factor for us in putting together next year's budget. Energy, yes, this is a factor for us. We had a brutal winter. And as a result of the winter, I have decided that we should budget more for heat and electricity. What we're trying to do is come up to like the 6-year historical average. And in doing that, I have budgeted about $120,000 more in energy for next year. So yes, energy was a factor for us in developing next year's budget. Capital improvement projects, yes. Although there are no capital projects in the budget for next year, we did budget $300,000 as a deposit into capital reserve. That monies are to be used to fund the local share of any or more of the 8 ROD grant projects that were approved by the state. So the board is doing the right thing and putting together a little reserve to fund those projects if they wish during the next school year. PER pension costs, not a factor for next year. Net valuation taxable rateables. The two words that come to mind is Hurricane Sandy, okay? Hurricane Sandy caused a loss of $83 million in rateables this year. We were able to recoup some of that, but we're still not there. We're about $41 million short of where it was prior to the storm. So yes, definitely rateables, net valuation taxable was an issue here. It was an issue for me in Homedale several years because in Homedale we had some major firms filing tax appeals. And as a result of the tax appeals, the assessed valuation dropped a lot. And a couple of years going, we had to make up that. So it was a problem for us, you know, in that respect. And the last is fund balance or surplus. Not a problem for us, not a major factor. In fact, we have budgeted $74,000 more in fund balance towards the 2014-15 budget. All All right, the next slide talks about the six main sources of revenue. We're going to talk about revenue and expenditures in the budget, and we're dealing with a balanced budget. By law, I have to put together a balanced budget. So let's talk first about the six main sources of revenue. All right, I listed them here. State aid is the first one. We received a very, very small increase in state aid for next year, $19,120. Our state aid is only 2.4% of our budget. It's not a big source of revenue for us. Fund balance or surplus, as I mentioned before, we're using $74,000 more in surplus or fund balance in next year's budget. That's a good thing. Tuition revenue really makes up 39% of our revenue. This is the tuition revenue from our seven sending districts. We're actually going to see an increase of $530,245 in tuition revenue. And that's because of a number of factors. One is that there's just more kids coming from the sending districts. Another is that we're getting a positive tuition adjustment for next year as a result of the 2012-13 school year. And if you take a look at this current year, the 13-14 tuition revenue, much, much lower. And the reason why it's much, much lower is because we had a negative tuition adjustment of like $330,000. And that's because the certified tuition rates for 11-12 came in lower than what we budgeted, not budget, but what we charged the seven districts. So if we charge them more and the certified rates come in lower, we owe them money. So this year, we owed them $333,000. That's the importance of setting the tuition rate correctly. And it was one of my recommendations that the board not increase the tuition rate for next year, keeping it at the $13,100. I don't want to have the same situation that we had this year where we had this negative adjustment. Next source of revenue, the CDL loan. First time this year, $1,376,474, much lower next year. And we're basically using the 890 to offset tax levy. There's a difference of $486,474. As I mentioned, the actual rateables in town are $42 million less than they were before Sandy. It's important for us, and I'll show you later what the impact of this is on the tax rate, but it's important for us to have some loan next year. The year after, again, that has to be decided, but at least for another year, there should be a CDL loan. Extraordinary aid, again, that's about the same. Tax levy, which is the sixth one down, is $12,575,032. Tax levy is one of the numbers that you'll actually see on the agenda. The board, after we do this public hearing, actually will vote on the final budget. On the final budget is the tax levy that you see, the $12,575,032. That's 52% of the revenue that we get in to fund the budget. And it's also only $54,000 more than the minimum tax levy. The state tells schools the minimum amount that they can actually tax. It's $54,000 more than the minimum. If we were to go less than that, we would have to get a waiver from the state. So we're pretty close to that number, $12,575,032. Okay, slide 12 talks a little bit about state aid. We're getting a 3.4% increase in state aid. It amounts to a small amount of money, $19,120. I get nervous when I read in the paper that Christie's thinking about reducing state aid to school districts, and I don't know how it's going to impact us here, but he surely can wipe out this increase easily. Fortunately, too, it only represents 2.4% of our budget, so it doesn't really impact us that much. Districts that rely on state aid to fund their budgets will have more of a problem, more of an issue. And as I said, the state aid accounts for 2.4% of our general fund budget. Not a big revenue source. Talk a little bit about surplus, general fund balance. What is it? It's the board's saving account. And it's limited by law to the greater of $250,000 or 2% of the general fund budget. For us, 2% of our general fund budget, what we have as fund balance, and it's in the audit, is $542,373. That's our fund balance. That's what we can legally keep. That's 2%. Anything over that must be designated for tax relief from year to year. In this year's budget, we have appropriated $281,537 from surplus. In next year's budget, which is $74,000 more, we're appropriating $355,000 from surplus. Now, FYI, in my first years as a BA, guess what? There was no cap on surplus. Districts could stock away, hoard as much surplus as they wanted to, and some of them did. And that's the reason why the state said no more and started limiting the amount of surplus. So they started going from no cap to like 10% and 8%, and now it's 2%. However, there are cap waivers. So if in fact, the board exceeds the fund balance or exceeds their fund balance, there is an opportunity for them to actually borrow money. All right, general fund revenue. I think this picture says it all. The tax levy and the tuition account for 91% of the revenues in the general fund budget. And you can see the small little slivers of pie for the other state aid, fund balance, extraordinary aids, CDL. The big thing is tax levy and tuition revenue here. General fund appropriations. All right, we're going to talk about the other side of the budget. All right, we talked about the, I talked about the revenues. Now we're going to talk about the appropriations. There's such a thing called the general fund. The general fund is current expense, which is the operating budget, capital outlay. All right, so, and here it's a deposit, a capital reserve. Let's just talk about capital outlay first. The capital outlay budget for next year is much, much less than it is this year. It's $76,259. That's basically equipment. In this year's capital outlay budget, we have budget for equipment as well as some capital projects. But there is a significant drop in the total capital outlay budget. We have budgeted, as we talked about before, a deposit to capital reserve of $300,000. Everything else that you can think of that the board buys and spends money on is in total current expense. So we have current expense and capital outlay making up the general fund. There used to be a separate vote on current expense and a separate vote on capital outlay. Then they actually combined it. Now we just vote in general fund. Now, if you stay within the 2% cap, you don't have to vote at all. And that's what a lot of districts, I think 99% of districts in the state, where there's no vote on the budget. All right, the next three slides show the main categories in which we budget. And the Good thing is that all school districts do the same thing. We budget the same way. We use the same accounting, and we budget for the same categories. And if you can understand our budget, our advertised budget in a newspaper, you can understand any budget, any school budget. The only thing that's different are the numbers. But we're going to talk about in the next three slides the major areas or categories. The first two, regular program and special program, special education, make up like 42% of the budget. Some big numbers. It's like $10 million budgeted next year for regular program and special program. And what are these, regular program and special program? Regular program includes the salaries of all regular ed teachers, K-12, subs, supplies, textbooks. Special education includes the same thing. It's the salaries of all special education teachers, K-12, aides, subs, supplies, and textbooks. If you add the two numbers, it's close to $10 million, which is 42% of the budget. And that's where you'll see there's really three categories that have the major dollar difference. The first one and the second one, and there's one more on the third slide that I'm going to point out and explain. But you see the other areas, there's a basic skills, we budget for that, bilingual ed, co-extracurricular, attendance and social work, those are the ones on this slide. The two that I really emphasize are the first two because they're the two biggies here. You see the tuition, special ed, we touched on that before. $800,000 is budgeted next year for tuition, special ed. We have 12 out-of-district placements. And as I said, that can change in a heartbeat. When people move in, you have to accommodate them. That's the reason why you have surplus, you know, to help you fund those programs. There's guidance, health services, speech, child study, improvement of instructional services, library. These are other categories. Most of these categories do not show a significant dollar difference. Okay, the last slide for the appropriations, instructional staff training, general administration actually went down. You don't see this too often, $50,000. School administration, central services, operation and maintenance, we're going to talk about that. Transportation, employee benefits actually went down. Remember I said at the beginning that it wasn't a factor for us? It wasn't a factor. In fact, the amount that we're budgeting next year is less than what we're budgeting this year. Operation and maintenance, $422,000 difference. It's actually 44% of the total difference, the $952,000. So the obvious question is, what's in this $422,000? We talked about hiring staff. The four new part-time employees, security aides and paras, are there. They're budgeted in that category. The heat and electricity, the additional $120,000 that I budget for next year, is in this category. We budgeted more for custodial and ground supplies. There was a need for that. We've under budgeted this year. We budgeted $75,000 more next year's budget. Contracted repairs. We have an aging high school. There's a need to budget more in the way of contracted repairs. We budgeted $30,000 more. And we also budgeted something for the high school football field. We budgeted for a new sod and a sprinkler system for the high school football field in the amount of $86,000. Those come close to the $422,000 increase that you see there on the slide. All right, slide 19. OK, Okay, this is all capital outlay. Remember I said that we have a very small capital outlay? All right, the capital outlay budget for next year is $76,000. $76,259. Some of this Jesse went over. The third one, he did not. We're budgeting $15,200 for athletic equipment for the weight room. We're budgeting for a new mower. We have three mowers. Two of them are very old. We're budgeting for a new one. The last two really don't have to do with equipment, but we're told by the state that we have to budget what they call debt service assessment for the school construction program that they have. We are basically paying for a portion of the principal and interest that the state is paying on these projects, these ROD grant projects. So our assessment, this $27,109, is a direct reduction from our state aid. We don't have a choice. They just give us less, $27,109. And we also have to budget, and this was the only change that we made or that the county made. We had to submit our budget to the county office, and they gave us the approval. The only thing that they told me that I had to do was I had to budget interest for the capital reserve. So I budgeted $50. In a $20 million budget, I had to budget $50 for interest earned on the capital reserves. So we have a capital outlay budget of $76,259, significantly less than what we had this year. All right. We have another pie chart. And this is a very interesting slide. It shows what's fixed expenses and what's discretionary. Salaries and benefits, if you take a look at the table, make up 78% of our budget. Total fixed expenses that you really can't touch is like 87%. So the only real thing that you can actually reduce or cut when you cut a budget is discretionary expenses, which is 13%. That's why when budgets get cut and defeated and whatever, the first things that get cut are buildings and grounds. They cut that out. Because that's basically the only thing you can cut, everything else is fixed. And this pie chart basically says it all too. Salaries and benefits, the biggest chunk of the pie, biggest pieces of the pie, 78% of our budget. And then those other little slices are, you know, the other expenses, both fixed and discretionary. The total general fund budget is $24,029,389. That is a number that you'll see in the agenda. That's one of the things that they'll vote on. All right, this slide, 21, compares this year to next year. The general fund tax levy, the assessed valuation, and the tax rate. People are very interested. If you're a homeowner, you're interested in this slide because this is really the bottom line. The general fund tax levy this year is $12,034,544. Next year, it's $12,575,032. Remember I said we're slightly above the minimum tax levy that the state says that we have to have. The assessed valuation went up a little bit from where it was this year. It went up $41 million. We're still $42 million lower than where we were prior to Superstorm Sandy. Okay, so the assessed valuation will be another major factor next year when they put together the budget for next year. And it's a very kind of simple math. You take the general fund tax levy and divide it by the assessed valuation, and you get the tax rate. So the tax rate as a result of next year's budget is a little over 80 cents. And it's an increase of 1.38 cents. I think the first or second slide in the PowerPoint was that it's the fourth lowest in the past 10 years. Okay, that's the number. the 1.38 or 1.4 cents, round it off. And I added a footnote. The assessed valuation pre-Sandy storm was $1,605,423.40. In case you don't know what assessed valuation means, it's the sum total of all of the real estate in town. Okay, so as a result of Superstorm Sandy, it went from that number, the $1,605,000, to $1,521,000, and it came back a lot. Came back $41 million for next year. Hopefully, it'll come back again. And I added this footnote, you can't really see it, but you can see it on your slide. Without the CDL revenue, this is the importance of the CDL revenue. Without it, the tax rate for next year, instead of being 80 cents per $100 assessed valuation, it would be 86 cents. That's a 7 cent increase in the tax rate. That's probably the highest in the state if that were to happen. And what does that mean in terms of dollars? What's the tax impact on your pocketbook? We know that the average residential assessment is $488,900. Next year's budget would mean an annual tax general fund of for that assessment of $3,933.20, or $6,747 a year, $562 a month. All right. If you look at it with debt service, because debt service is going down next year, and in fact, in the 2016-17, the district will be finished paying off the high school bonds, we'll have like a 30%+ drop in our debt service. So, I mean, that's a good year, the 16-17 school year. But if you look at the impact of the tax rate, general fund and debt service together, the tax increase is less than $50. It's $46.94 a year, or $3.91 a month. Footnote, without the CDL funds, the tax impact on an average residential assessment would be, instead of $3,933.20, would be $4,211.38, or an increase of $345.65 a year instead of $67.47 a year. So that's what that CDL loan does in terms of helping the tax and the impact on the tax rate on the homeowner. And most people don't have this average residential assessment. It's an average. So if you know your assessed value, and you can get that from your tax, they send you an annual tax form. You take your assessed valuation, you divide it by 100, and you times it by the tax rate increase. All right, and then using the example of the average residential assessment, you take the $488,900 divided by 100, multiply it times 0.0138, that's $67.47 a year. You can do the same thing with your assessed value. You know, look it up, you can see what the impact is on your own house. Okay, now I'm going to ask Tom to come back to maybe just summarize what we talked about in the PowerPoint. And Tom?
Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
Just by means of summary, what people normally want to know is what the 1.4 cent tax increase has accomplished. And just to summarize that, the budget accomplishments for this year, a reasonable, fiscally responsible budget while addressing all the needs of our students. The budget maintains our current educational and extra and co-curricular programs. The budget allows for the continuation of the implementation of new curriculum. The budget meets state mandates, especially where Dominic explained special education and the needs there. This budget provides for much-needed staff development, and this budget allows for progress towards completing the projects in our district's long-range facilities plan, the three-year comprehensive maintenance plan, and also our three-year technology plan. And again, 1.4 cent tax increase, which is the fourth lowest in 10 years. Just to summarize, I would really like to take time to thank Dominic, Kim Reed, who I see is here, and everybody in the business office. I mean, after having someone in that office for 27 years, having Dominic come in for 1 year and be able to work with an office that he's not familiar with, to be able to prepare the budget, and to be able to explain it to us and simplify it for some of us that need it simplified. And I just really think, you know, to have somebody come in, a fresh set of eyes, but to have somebody come in really out of nowhere and do this with the entire staff that he's never worked with before, I really want to thank our staff for being able to do that, and I really want to thank Dominic. I think we appreciate it, and we owe him. Thank you, everyone, for your time, for that presentation. We're up to number 7 on the agenda, public comment on the agenda. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer. She'll give their names, addresses, and any group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public portion of this meeting, the board will not respond to any questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, the evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, specific or prospective or current employees. This public forum is limited to comment on items that are included in this agenda only. Would anyone have a comment?
I do.
Okay. Sandy, you marked Mr. Serino in right at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Jeannie Patillo, 78 Morris Avenue. We have a small crowd tonight. I guess I haven't seen this. We're missing a lot of people tonight. Is that normal?
Well, I could explain to you why Okay. Everyone, each individual is not here, but yes, we are missing some people. Some people are traveling. Some people have work commitments. This is a special budget
meeting. I've just
never
seen it this low. Oh, that's okay. I just have a couple questions, and I know it's real quick. With the budget inside here, Dominic, where is the random drug testing money applied? Yeah.
It's in regular programs, I believe.
And how much money is in there for that?
I reduced it. $25,000.
We reduced it $5,000 for next year.
We reduced it? When did we do that? In public, or is you just put in there? I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand the process.
When the administration prepares for the budget, we don't go out of public on every single line
okay.
item. So we, as a committee, looked at the line items and reduced it. We didn't feel there was certainly any more need to increase it.
Oh, certainly, yes. Tonight you're going to be talking about a tenure. I know we're not going to talk about names. Just a couple of things. You know, I'm very strong on due diligence, making sure you have the right tools in order to make the proper decision on our behalf. There's a couple issues that we did not go public with when we sat in December 10th. I thought it would be best to keep it, you know, quiet. However, I wanted to bring them up now, and I made lots of copies. I did send you guys all emails today. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to read them all. So what I did was I printed them all, and I printed a lot for the public in case anybody is interested. And this way, they don't have to, you know, Oprah so much as we have been. There's a couple issues that maybe you might want to discuss. What, in my opinion, What I discovered during the OPRA process is what I would like to, what I'm considering is manipulation of our names. I have an email I sent to you on that. Also, one of the emails, the start and finish time of our random drug testing program one day was 5 hours. So I think that helps support the children that have spoken out and said that they couldn't find the support that they needed here at the high school. Another example, something I talked about personally in the policy meeting December 10th, was the sharing of what I believe is the sharing of prescription information. In the OPRA production, this seems to be a concern of another parent. I have copies of all that. Another thing is the parent information that we have on record here, whether it's their cell phone, their work, their email, their address, you know, husband and wife, we seem to be, we're sharing that. And in the 500-page OPRA that I paid for on a 14-month period, it's repeated practice. I guess it's commonplace for us to do that. I don't think that's right. Another thing is I wanted to see if our current SAC is certified by the Department of Health to actually take specimens, something we discussed. And also, too, when you guys did your reorg in January, I asked Tom, our board president, for a copy of the committee assignments. At that time, it was January 24, 2014, a revised list. It was Pat Walsh, committee chair, Serino, co-chair, Bassone, Forrester, and the alternate was Mr. James Walsh. Today I asked again, and there's a revised list, and I was given Linda DePalma, you're now the chair, Ken Clayton.
Wait.
What committee are we talking about?
We're talking,
are you talking about the policy committee I asked you for today?
No, I gave you personnel.
You wrote policy committee.
Okay, it's policy, no, it's the same committee, so that was an error. No committee has been changed.
Okay.
So
you just typed it wrong.
We were talking about personnel on your question about emails, thinking that it was personnel, not policy.
Okay.
Policy never changed because you were talking about personnel.
Very good. Okay, good.
Thank
I wanted
you.
To make sure about that. But you wrote policy committee back to
okay,
me.
But
so
it was,
I understand.
It was personnel because the email
so
in question was personnel we were talking about. And I, instead of policy,
okay.
I have policy on my mind.
Got it. No
personnel.
Problem.
So there
just
have been no
that.
Changes from that
That's
revised
all.
List. So
all
we're
right,
good.
I appreciate that. All right. So when you go in and you talk about all your merits and what you want to do, I just want you to consider what we've discussed and what our concerns are as parents and what the children have spoken. Okay? That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kell.
Donna Ruggiero, 439 Long Avenue, Manasquan. Along with what Mrs. Patillo said, I'm reflecting on one of the meetings where some of the students stood up and discussed their penalties for being found positive on these drug tests, and more than one stood up and pretty much demanded at 16, 17 years old that they be reimbursed for follow-up drug tests. You've got to be kidding me.
To me, the policy's not on the agenda tonight. I don't want to interrupt you, but I understand where you're
My
coming
point.
From. But yes,
the
it's
nerve
not,
of these kids is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
I think Mrs. Patillo was referring
twice
to.
Twice as ridiculous.
No, I understand. But Mrs. Patillo, I think, was a personnel comment. I don't think it was a policy comment.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, what are we doing?
Okay, that's actually.
We're not having a conversation.
We're not going to. Okay.
Yeah, we're not having a conversation.
That's actually up for debate.
Mrs. Patillo, we're not having conversations. Yeah, we're not having conversations.
Okay,
yes.
Finish your statement. Please, I was interrupted. Finish your statement.
Well, it's not on the agenda.
Yeah, that's
fine. But I couldn't believe the goal of the students who were doing something illegal were caught doing something illegal and inappropriate and unhealthy, and we're going to stand here and complain that they were tested and had to pay further for being positive again or whatever again.
I understand.
The goal and the parents that, you know, these poor children and they deserve another chance was insane. That's why they're doing what they do, because the parents cover for them.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to limit everything to agenda comments only.
Sorry.
That's quite all right. Seeing no one else, We'll move on to general items. Do we have a motion for number 8?
So moved.
Mrs. Walsh, a second?
Second.
Mr. Campbell, some discussion? Any discussion? No discussion. Roll call.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie?
We're going to now be moving into closed session for personnel items. Whereas Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12 of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date, Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be, we're hoping for 45 minutes. It says 60 here, but we're hoping for 45 or less. After which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from that disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, that this board should go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 8, personnel items. Personnel matters, I'm sorry. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when this board, well, it will result in board action when this board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Mrs. Walsh, second by Mr. Campbell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. Roll call, Sandy.
That's okay. Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. De Palma?
No. Here.
Mr. Forrester? Mr. Fiore? Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale? Mr. Walsh? Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, moving into the Manasquan items. Number 9 and number 10, I believe, we're going to put together?
Sure.
Do we have a motion for number 9 and number 10?
Motion.
Mrs. Second. Walsh, seconded by Mr. Campbell. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
For the Manasquan Sending District items, number 11 through 13. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Mrs. Bassone, seconded by Mrs. Walsh. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
We now move to our second public forum. If anyone has any comments or questions on anything agenda or non-agenda related. Seeing no one. Any old business? Any new business? We don't need that executive session. We'll now move to our last public forum. Is there anybody that didn't get up? Seeing no one. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
You got it.
Mr. Campbell, second. Ms. De Palma, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming.